Zach and Linda for leading us in our time of worship together through
song and praise. It is always a joy to lift our voices in unison to our God and King, especially during this Advent season when we set aside time to remember the first coming of the Messiah, but also to expectantly and excitedly look forward to and await his second coming. Because we can't help but look at his first coming and realize that his first coming meant that he came to bear the sins of his people on the cross of Calvary, as we just sung a moment ago in those two songs, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and then that second one. And so this morning, we are looking at another aspect of Christ's first coming, of what he brought with him in his first coming, of what he left to us in his first coming and in his death, burial, and resurrection. Because again, we cannot help but look at the cross of Calvary when we consider the coming of the Messiah. And that is the peace that he brought to us, and why we have lit a second candle this morning, the peace candle. And so this morning we are turning our attention to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So I encourage you to take out your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. And as you do, I do beg your pardon. Right now I am sucking on a cough drop because I am getting over a cold from this last week. I came into the office Thursday morning and the first words out of Belinda's mouth are, "You sound terrible." And I felt terrible. And so it's somewhat past, mostly past now, but there's still a residual. So to keep me from coughing, I have a cough drop in my mouth. But this morning, we are looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, the second theme of Advent, the theme of peace. And we read these words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. Paul, under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, records these words for us to the early church. "Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace that you have poured out into our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ, and made known to us by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that as we draw ever closer to celebrating the birth of our Savior, the birth of your Son, the birth of God in the flesh, that we will remember that this time of the year is not about the gifts under the tree, but the gift that you have given to us in your Son, to be the perfect and pleasing sacrifice, to satisfy your wrath and anger, to make us righteous according to your righteousness. That we would remember that this season is about the promised Messiah that you promised before the foundations of the world were even laid, that you have promised all along, and that he has come, that the Messiah has come, our Savior has come. Lord, be with us this morning as we look at the peace that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and made known to us through your Spirit. Lord, we ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. There are many things that we could spend our time on in this portion of Paul's letter from Ephesians, but I want us to look at the peace that he talks about, the peace that Christ brought to us, the peace that Christ made for us, the peace that is ours because of him. And the first thing I want us to look at is that Christ brought peace in his first coming. That Christ, in his first coming, and even in the expectant second coming, has given us peace. That Christ brought us peace. That with the birth of Christ meant the Prince of Peace had come. And we know that to be the case, that he is the Prince of Peace, based upon Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. When the prophet proclaimed, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." When we think about the coming of the Messiah, when we think about the first advent, Christ's first coming, we have to realize that Christ brought peace. That he is to be called the Prince of Peace, the harbinger of peace, the bearer of peace, the bringer of peace. Peace that we have never known this side of heaven, only by the will of God. And on that, he has revealed multiple occasions that he was and is indeed the Prince of Peace. When we think about the coming of Jesus Christ, when we think about his first coming, we realize that Christ on several occasions lived up to his name, Prince of Peace, giving evidence to it. His entire life lives up to that name, Prince of Peace, but on just a few occasions to bring this to reality for us. We see this happening. One such occasion in the life of Christ, as we consider his entire life, because we're not just looking at the birth of Christ, though that's what we celebrate this time of year, every year, but we have to look at his entire life. Look at all that he did on this earth while he walked this earth, which means we are taken up to the cross of Calvary. But even before then, we see Christ being the Prince of Peace when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, if you were to study Hebrew law and just the history of the nation of Israel, you would realize that for a king to come into his city, he would usher in two things depending on what he was. He would usher in one thing depending on what he was riding. If he was riding a noble steed, he was ushering in a time of war. If he was riding in on a donkey, he was ushering in a time of peace. And so Christ riding into Jerusalem, the city of David, the king's city, on a donkey, it was him ushering in a time of peace. And we see that recorded to us in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And that's notable, not just because it shows that Christ is the Prince of Peace, but it shows that He is God, author and creator of all creation. Why? Because Christ sits on the back of an unbroken animal. An animal that had never had a human being, let alone a saddle, put onto its back. And yet Christ, being God, is able to sit on this lowly creature and walk into Jerusalem as the King of all of creation, the Prince of Peace, ushering in a time of peace, not peace from the Roman government, as the nation of Israel was expecting that their Messiah would come in and overthrow the current regime, but peace from sin, freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage that sin has on our lives from the point of birth, the peace that He has brought, He has delivered to us. And it's not only that Christ brought peace with His first coming, but throughout His ministry, He preached peace. Peace that only comes from God through Jesus Christ in the aid that we have through the Spirit. And that is made known to us through the gospel according to John. In John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, we read these words about Christ preaching peace. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Christ taught and spoke on peace all the time. Peace that we just don't tend to understand if we do not walk with the Lord. Peace that we cannot comprehend because it surpasses all comprehension. But it only comes from the Lord. Paul tells us of that in his letter to the Philippians, of the peace that we have through Jesus Christ, and the peace that He gives to us, the peace that He has taught us. Because when we come to know Him, peace washes over us like we've never known before. Peace washes over us that allows us to face trials and tribulations with great comfort, knowing of where our destiny truly lies, of where eternity will be spent, and that is with Christ Jesus, if we have called upon His name and have repented of our sins. Christ has left us His peace through His Spirit, through the Spirit of God, to be our aid, to be the aid, to direct us through this life, to make us in good times and bad remember all that He has taught and said. That when we're facing struggles, the Spirit is there to direct us back to the throne of God, to make us recall the promises of God, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That the plans He has for us are good, but we must be willing to submit ourselves to Him. Christ brought peace, taught peace. And not only that, Christ has made peace. He has made peace for us. How? He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. No longer is there division. No longer is there Jew or Gentile. There are the people of God. How? By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances. The law of commandments required work on our behalf, required a sacrifice to be made time and again. They only took it so far, but they always pointed to the perfect and pleasing sacrifice, who is Jesus Christ. Christ came to not abolish the law and prophets, but to fulfill them. That they pointed to Him. That in the law of commandments, if we are diligent to look at them, they point us not just to our sinfulness, but to our need for a Savior. And it points to Jesus Christ. And even Paul said that Christ brought us near, breaking down the dividing wall of hostility, the division that is there of being called the uncircumcision by those called the circumcision. That is the initially chosen people of God who are still God's chosen people, but now he has made us, the Gentile nation, his adopted people through the blood of the Lamb. Remembering that it is Christ who has made us children of God. That Christ has brought those near who were once far off, who were lost to the wilderness. No longer are we strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with all of the saints and members of the household of God. And this is only done through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which only happens because of his first coming. And his first coming meant that he would die on the cross of Calvary. That when we looked at last week, the words uttered to his earthly father, Joseph, that his name would be called Jesus, for he would take away the sins of his people. Joseph, being a good Jew, would understand that in order to take away the sins of people, there had to be a sacrifice. And to realize that, we would see the peace that was brought, the peace that was made by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Paul, once again, in Romans chapter 5, records these words regarding the peace made for us through Christ's sacrifice. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, Paul records these words, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Peace has been made with God where there once was no peace because of sin. Because of sin and making us hostile towards God, making us strangers and aliens towards God, but Jesus Christ has brought us near to God through his blood. That through his coming, when we first look at the foretelling of the virgin birth and the promised Messiah, we have to look at why there is a promised Messiah. And the reality is that the Messiah has come to bear the sins of all people. That it's God's desire for all to come to know him. And yet the reality is not all will surrender to him. Some will still reject him and be ushered into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is hell. But to those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved and will be ushered into the kingdom of heaven, because Christ has made peace. He has made the peace available to us that we cannot make on our own by being the perfect and pleasing sacrifice. And the peace that we now have with God allows us now to face great suffering with joy. With comfort. Not comfort and joy of this world, but comfort and joy from God, because it produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that hope does not disappoint, because it's Jesus Christ as our hope, who is the love of God made known to us by the Spirit. And when we realize that Christ's coming has made peace, we realize that Christ is our peace. That he is our Prince of Peace. That he can only be our peace through having an ever-deepening and growing relationship with Him. And this first comes by the Spirit convicting us and leading us to God's truth. The Spirit first convicting us of our sinfulness and our righteousness, really that lack thereof, because there are none righteous, no, not one. But that's not the Spirit's only job. The Spirit's job is then to lead us to God's truth, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through Him. And when that happens, we are then brought to the point of salvation and believing with our hearts and confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and ruler of our lives. When that happens, Christ becomes our peace, becomes our Prince of Peace. The reality sets in and great peace washes over us, where we are left able to face trials and tribulations, able to do so all this life, and be able to respond in a manner just as Paul was able to, even in the face of certain persecution, imprisonment, and eventually death, to say to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And even if you were to go to Paul's letter to the Philippians saying, you know what, I realize that there are individuals who are preaching Christ just to cause me harm, but I say, who cares? The gospel message is being proclaimed. Now, we are thankful to live in a country as of right now that it is not a hate crime to tell someone the gospel message. There are countries where it's a hate crime to say Jesus loves you. But for us, that's not the case. Yet, and Lord willing, will never be the case. But there are still times where we do face hostility, where we do face people who bare their teeth at us and snarl and growl because we want to share with them the love of God. We want to share with them the true hope that they are missing out on, the true peace that they are missing out on, that they can only have through Jesus Christ. And we realize is our mission in life if we know Him. To where they are able to respond, should be able to respond as we do in trying situations, in times of anxiety or stress, with a peace that is not of this world. To rather than snap at someone when they have done us wrong, we say, you know what? It's all right. God is in control. A peace that surpasses all comprehension knowledge, which Paul tells us is of God in Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, telling us that Jesus Christ is our peace. That He is the Prince of Peace. The name that He was given before the foundations of the world were laid. The name that was told to the prophet Isaiah to proclaim to the nation of Israel, saying, here is your Messiah. Saying, this is what we will see in our Messiah. And it is why Paul charges the believers with the following at the close of his second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Time and again, Paul reminds us that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. That Christ brought peace with His first coming. That Christ taught peace. That Christ has made peace. That Christ is our peace. So much so that we can face anything this life has to throw our way with great peace because of Jesus Christ and walking with Him. It's why we look at so many hymns in our hymnals that speak to this peace. And just several weeks ago in our last children's time, Aaron shared on one of our most beloved hymns, "It is well with my soul," which starts off, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," written by a man who, by the world standards, had no reason to have any peace, had no reason to rejoice in God or to sing praise to God for the tragedy that he lost in losing several children in a horrific tragedy. But we see the peace that Christ brings, the peace that Christ has made, the peace that he has given to us, and not just his first coming, but through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the peace we long to see and know even more intimately and feel in his second coming. Why we also sing in the solid rock that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Time and again we see in songs that we sing that many churches decide to go away from, but I am so thankful we still sing them here. Great truths pulled from Scripture and put to wonderful tunes, but even if you just read the words, you hear of the peace being proclaimed at the coming of the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that allows us to respond in times of anxiousness, of tragedy, of great sorrow, of despair, with a calm demeanor and our gaze affixed on Jesus Christ and the hope and peace that he has given to us. Christ's first advent brought peace because it points to his death, burial, and resurrection. It points to the conquering of sin in the grave and the freedom we have from that, not to continue on in sin, but to continue to live for Christ in his kingdom so that we would have life in him, life to the fullest, life eternal. The peace Christ brings to us can only be had through knowing him as Lord and Savior of our lives, of calling upon his name and being led by the Spirit to that point of salvation, of repentance, of being totally in despair, of saying, as the disciples did when Christ told them that it would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. And they say, who then can be saved? And his response is, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Meaning it is God's salvation to give, and he has given it to you freely through me, the Son of Man, Son of God. And that only happens by us realizing that we can't do it. We cannot be led. We cannot achieve our salvation on our own. We cannot achieve the peace that Christ gives to us on our own. We long for it in material possessions. We long for it in that perfect job that brings in all the income, or in the right relationship, or in our family's lives when it's just utter chaos. And we try for it every year, every single day, and yet we are left feeling helpless. That peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And for those who do know Christ, it is our call and our duty to pray for his peace in the lives of our loved ones and friends, that they would be led to that point of complete surrender, of realizing that apart from Christ, they are in utter despair. But with Christ, he has reconciled us to God. He has made peace where there was once hostility. He has made peace with God because he is the Prince of Peace, the perfect and pleasing sacrifice. this Christmas season, I pray that you would pray for peace in your family, with your friends, that they would come to know Jesus Christ, that they would feel the Spirit's leading. They would feel the Spirit's conviction in their life. I pray that you would feel the Spirit's conviction in your life. Conviction to love on that neighbor that is difficult to love on. To love on that family member that just typically lights the fire of argument within the family. And just love on them the way Christ has loved you. The way that God has loved you, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you, in realizing they need the love of God in their life. They need the peace of God in their life. I invite you in this time to respond in any manner you see fit. Then we'll have two of our deacons up here to pray with you. If you need prayer in this time, saying, I need to feel God's peace for whatever is going on in your life, the altar is open. We're here to pray with you. We're here to talk to you after the service. Just let us know. If there's someone who is close to your heart that you desire that they would know the Prince of Peace, pray for them now. Realize that there is great power in prayer because of the Spirit who is our aid. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to know the Prince of Peace, to feel the peace that surpasses all comprehension. You respond in this time, and then I will close us in a final word of prayer. As you continue to respond towards the close of the service, know that there is always time to reach out to myself or one of the deacons. If you need to have a conversation with us, if you want to have a time of prayer with us, know that you can reach out to us throughout the week. We'd love to visit with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to cry out to God with you, to cry out to the Prince of Peace, which we celebrate this time each year in Christ's birth. Heavenly Father, we praise your glorious name for giving us the greatest gift ever in your Son, Jesus Christ, that in his first coming, he brought peace. He made peace for us because it makes us look forward to the cross of Calvary and what that signifies for us. that not did he just take away the stain of sin, but he made peace with you in the wrath that we rightly deserved because of sin. That through the cross of Calvary, we have peace with you. And he has left his peace with us through your Holy Spirit to aid us in the rest of this life on this earth until you call us home or he returns, to allow us to face trials of various kinds with peace that surpasses all comprehension. Peace that leaves us saying, it is only by the will, grace, and mercy of God that I can respond in this way. And for us to desire to see our brothers and sisters, whether it be flesh and blood or those close to us and where we live, to know you and have that same peace. Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask all the more for your Son to come again, to where we see that peace coming once more. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name.